service. Those of you who have cell phones, please turn them off or put them on vibrate. Very disturbing to have them go off of the service itself. We greatly appreciate it if you would do that now, please. I'm going to ask you to stand now as we receive the family.
This past Friday, it was discovered that the Lord had taken home Brother Ralph Fenimath. He leaves behind his wife Nancy, his children Stephanie, and her husband Andrew and Josh, also his parents Ralph and Sina. This afternoon, we may thankfully remember what the Lord gave to us in our brother Ralph, and also give thanks for the grace of the Lord in his life. I invite you now all to begin our service together by singing from Jesus is our Sure Defense. May I lead you in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we come before you together this afternoon on the occasion of the memorial service of our brother Ralph Enema. We are thankful for the gift of Ralph's life, for everything that he meant to us as a son, as a husband, as a father, as a brother, and as a friend. We give thanks for his life and for what he meant, and at the same time, we mourn. We mourn because our brother has now gone from us, and we did not even have the opportunity to say goodbye to him. Father, this is a difficult time for us, and therefore we need to open your word. We need to be comforted by your word and hear what it has to say to us at a time such as this. And we pray that you would bless the opening of your word. We grant that these words which we will read will speak to us, that they will comfort us. Will you comfort us through the promises of the gospel and so strengthen our faith? We thank you that we may open the service in your name, and we pray that your name would be glorified and honored throughout. Hear our prayer. Be with us. We ask it of you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now I invite you to turn with me to the reading for this afternoon. It comes to us from Psalm 121, which you can find in your program booklet. This was one of Ralph's favorite psalms, and it's also therefore fitting that we read it together this afternoon. Psalm 121, a song of ascent. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Let's sing together from this psalm now that we've read it, and we'll sing it as it is arrived in the Genevan version, which is also in your booklet, Psalm 121, the stanzas 1 through 4. Our message this afternoon is based on Psalm 121, verses 1 and 2, which are also printed on the front of your booklet. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Nancy, Stephanie and Andrew, Josh, Ralph and Sina, family members and friends, a few hours ago we buried the body of Ralph Enema Jr. Ralph was many things in life. He was a husband, a son, a father, a brother-in-law, and a friend and a fellow believer to many of us. Ralph was also a man who had a difficult life. When he was 22, he first began to experience difficulties with his mental health. Over the years, things became worse, and he often needed medical help, and that was difficult for him. His condition limited him in many ways. For instance, it made it impossible for him to hold down long-term employment. Those kinds of things frustrated him enormously, and it also frustrated those around him. Ralph could sometimes be difficult to live with, especially early on. But the last few years were good for him. He was stable, and in the contact that I had with him, I found him to be one of the most contented people that I've ever met. Where did that contentment come from? It wasn't because Ralph had a lot of money. He was not a wealthy man, and when he got money as a birthday gift, I'm told that soon afterwards his little nephews and nieces would have new toys. Ralph didn't find contentment in buying stuff. And he didn't find his contentment in trying to be someone that he was not. No, Ralph was content because he knew he had a strong relationship with the Lord. He trusted God, regardless of what happened to him. Ralph learned to be content with whatever the Lord gave to him in his life. The text we're going to focus on this afternoon comes from Psalm 121, the verses 1 and 2. And Nancy chose this one because Ralph quoted it almost every day. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He took his words as his motto in life and he made them his own. Now, how was he able to do that? Is it even legit to say something like that? And if it is legit, if it is true, could it also be true for us? Well, the Bible says that it can be, and we're going to think about that as we reflect on these verses. This psalm is one of the so-called songs of ascent, and what that means is that at the time it was written, it was sung by pilgrims on their way to Jerusalem for one of the three annual sacrifices that they had, the festivals. And Jerusalem was built on a mountain, so as these people made their way up through the mountains to the city, they would be singing these psalms together. That's why we call them the songs of ascent. Now, going through the mountains could be dangerous. There could be wild animals, robbers even. Even the weather could be a challenge. And those of you who drove down from Houston this week know that too. Sometimes the trip is uneventful and sometimes you get everything at the same time. Mountains can be mysterious. You never really know what to expect. The psalmist realizes that. But he doesn't dwell on those thoughts. As he's traveling through these mountains, he looks beyond them and his thoughts move beyond the mountains to the God who made them. And he thinks to himself, these mountains are really impressive. How much more impressive the God who made them. And not only that, but our text says that this God is the maker of heaven and earth. And that's a Hebrew way of saying he made everything. Heaven, earth, and everything in between. This God made the entire universe. And in the face of uncertainty, the psalmist says, my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Now, if you think about it, he's actually saying something really remarkable here. He's not just saying God is creator. He's saying that it is possible to have a personal relationship with this God. Think for a moment about how unusual this is. When we think about mountains, when you go out afterwards and look at Mount Shem rising up behind the church, there are 7,000 feet tall. When you look at mountains like that, you think about the forces that created them, and you think about impersonal geological activities. You see the layers of rock in these mountains, and you know that they slowly wear down again over long periods of time. And so it's easy to conclude, when you think about that, that this world is impersonal and that it is full of impersonal forces and that there's not a whole lot that we can do about it. Well, the psalmist looks beyond all of that with the eyes of faith, and he knows the Creator God who made it. The psalmist is saying here in these two verses, he's saying that it is possible to have a personal relationship with that Creator God. After all, the psalmist is on his way to the temple, right? To meet God personally, to receive his blessing. Now, how can he be sure about that? Because God reaches out to his people. God was the one who began this relationship. And the very fact that the psalmist is on this journey to begin with proves it. God called him to the temple to meet with him. He did that for all of his people. He wanted to meet with them and forgive them and bless them. You know, the real problem with creation is not that it is impersonal. The real problem with creation is that it is broken. Creation is under a curse. Romans 8 says that the whole creation is in bondage to corruption. It is groaning. The whole creation groans under the burden of brokenness, of sin and of its consequences. And that brokenness is reflected in so many different things that you see in this world. And it shows in illness and disease and in death. This is not the way life was meant to be. And Ralph knew that. He knew that better than anyone else because he lived with that brokenness. He felt it for his whole adult life. If the Bible tells us one thing, it is that God's heart goes out to this broken world. That is why he reaches out to his people. He wants to have a personal relationship with them. And he proved that most of all through Jesus Christ. God didn't look at this world from a distance. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, into the world. And Christ took on a human nature. He was born as a man. Jesus entered the brokenness of this world. He felt that brokenness in his body. He personally experienced it. And he too was a pilgrim on his way to Jerusalem. He was a Jew. That means he sang this psalm. He experienced the same dangers. He felt the same fatigue of the journey. The presence of Christ proves once and for all that God wants to overcome this distance between himself and his people. Every time that people went to that temple, they had to bring an offering to give to God to cover their sins. And that God was the one who instituted that. He wanted people to have a way to deal with their sin. That's because the real thing separating us from God is not the mountains. The real thing separating us from God is our sin. Christ died for sinners. He made it possible for anyone who believes in him to have a relationship with God. Ralph had that relationship. He knew that God had created him. He believed that nothing happened to him by chance. He believed the promises that God had made to him at his baptism. He believed without a shadow of a doubt that the Word of God was reliable and true. He had that relationship with God through Jesus Christ. The psalmist was so confident and able to look past the mountains surrounding him because he knew he could look to God for help. He knew he could look to God for help under all circumstances. And Ralph had that confidence, not because he thought highly of himself, but because he knew that Christ had saved him from the greatest danger of all, the punishment for sin. Sin is rebelling against God. Sin is going your own way. Sin is turning your back on your Creator and then refusing His claim on your life. But where does that leave you? What will you say to your Creator on the day that you have to face Him? Who will you turn to? The psalmist says, turn to God. Ralph did that too. He knew that Christ had forgiven his sin and that he had peace with God. And that is why he was able to look to God for help. He knew he had nowhere else to go. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth, says the psalmist. For that to mean anything, you need to understand what help is. See, when we think of help, we think of it as a little boost, right? A little something to get you through difficulties. Just this morning, I had to move something from one of the annexes into a different room, and I asked somebody to give me some help, and he helped me to carry it. But the word that is translated here in the psalmist, help, is bigger than that. It has military connotations. Think about the airstrikes getting carried out against ISIS right now. You have multiple countries involved, and they're helping each other. And together, they give this help, this overwhelming power to destroy the enemy. That's the kind of help that the psalmist is talking about here. Overwhelming power to use on behalf of people who are defenseless. This is the personal help that God extends to people who are weak, and that's all of us. Why? Because all of us live in a broken world. Each one of us needs God's help. If you're sitting here today, you need God's help. But sometimes you don't realize that until you hit uncertainty. And those uncertainties of life make us cry out for help. This psalm directs our cry to the only person who can give us permanent help, and that's God Himself. So these two verses are an invitation to experience the presence of God in our life in spite of our difficulties. That's real security. And when you have that kind of security, then your foot cannot be moved, as it says in verse 3. The psalm promises that kind of security. Did you notice that it switches from the confession, I lift up my eyes to the hills. And then after that, it says, He will not let your foot be moved. So it becomes a promise. In a world full of uncertainties, we can experience that stability that comes from trusting God. The word keep gets used 6 times in the psalm in one way or another. The Lord is your keeper, says verse 5. And that doesn't mean nothing bad will ever happen to you. But it does mean that when bad things happen, God holds on to you. That's what it means. Why does He do that? Because of that relationship. If He cared enough to send His Son, if Christ cared enough to walk the road ahead of us, if He cared enough to die for His own, would it make any sense for Him to let go? Would He not safely guide His people home? And we doubt that sometimes, don't we? If we're honest with each other, we doubt. We look at the words of this psalm. We look at the call to trust in our text. And we compare it to our reality and we just feel discouraged. But that comes from looking at it from the perspective of this life only. We get lost in the details of our own pilgrimage. Psalm 121 invites us to step out of that box, to look at our life not only as a day-by-day life, but as a pilgrimage with a destination, life on the way to eternity, life lived in the presence of God. And when you take that big, wide-angle perspective, then that changes things, doesn't it? The psalm says God will guard you going out and you're coming in. That means that He cares deeply about the details of your life, also the painful ones, also us being here today. He cares about those details because of Christ. The psalm says the Lord will keep you going out and you're coming in from this time forth and forevermore. And what that means is that the relationship with God is too big to fit just into one life. It extends into the life to come. It spills over into all of eternity. The Lord guides us through this life. But His help, His protection, His care doesn't end at the grave. When we buried Ralph this morning, did you really think that his walk with God ended there in an open pit? No. His faith was not disappointed. From where does my help come? Asks the psalmist. And it's an invitation to reflect, to ask ourselves the same question. Where does our help come from? And it's an invitation to believe the promises of God. It's a call not to focus on our situation, regardless of what it might be, but on the God who is in control of that situation. That's what faith is. So many people go through life thinking that faith is sentimental feelings, you know, the religious equivalent of cotton candy. Well, that kind of faith is not going to support you when you need it. The psalmist calls us to look to God in faith. That kind of faith is what you need to anchor yourself when your world stops making sense. And if you want proof, Ralph's life was proof because he had that faith. But the question now is, what about us? Can you say that God is your creator, that Christ is your redeemer? If so, then the psalm reminds you to continue looking to Him for help. And if not, then the psalm still encourages you quietly to look to God for help. Not insistently, not in your face, but with the quiet gravity of a mountain. Ralph's life reminded us of the power of faith, the transforming power of faith as trust in a God who will not let His people down. And if you believe in that God, then you can look to Him for help, even in this time of mourning. And then the rest of the psalm will be true of you as well. Then the Lord is your keeper. He will keep your life. Also, as you go on without Ralph, the Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Amen. Let's sing together from the next hymn in your program, Praise to the Lord. I'd now like to take this opportunity to hand the microphone over to Ralph's brother John, who will do the eulogy.
Good afternoon. Today I stand before you as Ralph's oldest brother and on behalf of the Fenema family. Ralph Fenema Jr. was born on April 23rd of 1962. Ralph grew up in the town of Houston, B.C. as a young boy and teenager. Ralph was a jolly, happy-go-lucky fellow. However, Ralph's easygoing nature became challenged in his early 20s. Ralph was struck with mental illness, severe depression, schizophrenia, and a bipolar disorder were the mental illnesses that he faced. This took a huge toll on Ralph's life. Work and daily activities that we take for granted were a challenge for Ralph because of his unhealthy mind. When Ralph was going through bad times, we would often hear him say, "Why me? Why did I receive this burden and my other brothers?" Mental illness essentially changed Ralph, but yet, through his struggles, his personality of being a jolly guy remained. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that Ralph was an easygoing guy to be with when he was in a low or high state of mind. Many of us here have experienced these difficulties or these difficult times with Ralph. Even phone calls from Ralph when he's not well would make us shudder. Don't feel too important if you receive one of these phone calls. Ralph would even phone ministers and professors from the theological seminary with theological grievances. I don't mean to make fun of my brother here, but this was how his mind was, very unstable and confused when not properly medicated. Ralph was loved by many and will be dearly missed by us all. Ralph was a special man in many ways. He was a man who strived to mirror the image of Christ amidst the many struggles he endured on this earth. Never will we be able to forget the sound of his laugh or the look of that firmest smirk found on his face, and what a blessing this is to us. Nancy, Steph, and Andrew, Josh, the loss you are enduring is seemingly unbearable. But hold on to the fact that Ralph loved you guys in the ways that words cannot express. Ralph was a family man and always put you, his family, first, even in the toughest of times. In his marriage, there were ups and downs, but with thankfulness these last few years, the Lord has blessed this marriage. Ralph and Nancy were able to work on this marriage with the help of the Lord and restore what once was. Above all, Ralph is a child of God. He fought battles in his mind none of us could even begin to fathom, but he clung on to God with a childlike faith throughout his life. This was not done in his own strength. God held on to Ralph and gave him an extra measure of unshakable faith. It's pretty amazing that in our healthy minds we doubt our faith in the best of times, whereas Ralph, in the darkest of times, clung on to his faith by the grace of God. This is the work of the Lord. Ralph loved the Lord with simplicity, and what an example this is to all of us. Ralph took seriously the call to live your life out of thankfulness to God and to live as prophets, priests, and kings in this world. He was so passionate about the love of Jesus, and this can be seen in his personality. He loved beyond circumstances, cared for others without barriers, and forgave without limitations. Although today is a sad day laying our loved one to rest, it is not a day without hope. It is hard to lose someone like Ralph, someone who had such an impact on so many people. But it is during this time you must remember what we read in 1 Thessalonians 4. Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep, or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. And not only do we believe this, but Ralph believed this as well. We cannot grieve for Ralph without hope, because he will be with the Lord forever. Ralph's life belonged to Christ, and now Christ's unending love belongs to Ralph. We can go in confidence that we'll meet him again. Today, as family, we can stand together here with the comfort that Ralph is now in heaven, glorying our God there, unaffected by the ills of this world. To God be the glory.
On that note, let's sing together, "Great is Thy Faithfulness." Let's pray. O Lord, great is your faithfulness. Great is your grace, your love toward us. Great is your gospel. The gospel that you do not leave us to make the journey alone, but that Christ joined us in our existence, that he shared in our suffering, that he bore our sin, that he also shared in Ralph's suffering, and that Ralph knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that he too belonged to Christ. I thank you for that. I thank you that he believed that and that he lived it, that he had that faith. And we pray, give us also faith to sustain us in the difficult days ahead. Give us that faith, we pray. Be with Nancy. Be with Stephanie and Andrew, also as they expect a baby this week. We pray for a safe delivery and a good recovery. We pray for Josh as well. We pray for Ralph's parents, Ralph Sr. and Sina. We pray for all those who mourn his passing today. Comfort all those who mourn. Let the light of your gospel make things clear to us. Let it make us glad as we go from here. Not glad with superficial happiness, but the gladness mixed with tears. The gladness that knows that Ralph himself is free, that his race is over, that he will never have to put up with any of the burdens that he suffered under in this life again. And that one day he can walk this earth again in perfection. Let us also hold on to that hope. Keep us. Be very near to us. Also in the week ahead. We pray this in thankfulness. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We've now come almost to the end of our program. We're going to rise together and sing In Christ Alone. And as we do that, starting with the second stanza, I'm going to lead out the family. And you'll have an opportunity to extend your condolences downstairs and also join in the basement for refreshments. Let's rise and sing together.